702, The World View
with Adam Gilchrist.
23 minutes after 8 o'clock, news from elsewhere in the world. Now, Adam Gilchrist, let's start with this vandalized grave, distress and defiance in Iran.
Yeah, didn't we talk a lot about Mahsa Amini, the young woman whose arrest for not wearing her mask properly, in inverted commas, and then whose death in custody sparked all those protests in Iran, anti-government protests, the women's rights protests, you name it. It's difficult to tell if those protests are still on. I don't think they've been reported for a while. But this is sort of anti-protest protest that her grave and her tombstone have been vandalized at a cemetery in the city of Saqqez in Iran. The family lawyer says the grave was vandalized by people known for such distasteful actions in the past, possibly known by the authorities, possibly acting on behalf of the authorities. You do wonder. A brother posted on Instagram, Akshan Amini, that it was the second attack in recent months, that even her tombstone, as he put it, seems to bother them. He didn't say who the them are, but... And also this, which I think is both defiant and maybe a bit of a challenge. No matter how many times they break it, we will fix it. Let's see who gets tired first. Let's hope that's not a challenge to those who are like, vandalizing tombstones and portraits and glass and so forth.
It's a lesson in leaving well alone, is it not? I mean, if you're thinking about the perspective of the regime, if... Let's assume this was state-sponsored, or at least there was some kind of complicity by authorities. The more this kind of thing happens, that the more her name remains on people's lips and are talking about, as in fact you and I are right now. They must just leave well alone, I think. Right now, in France, why fly when you can go by rail, Adam?
Well, exactly that. And you could certainly argue, I mean, they have a pretty good train system. I think I fell foul of it once when they switched from a summer to a winter timetable, didn't tell me, and I sat for 5 hours at the station waiting. But anyway, apart from my own disgruntlement, generally their train service is spot on. So France has now finally enacted something. It actually was put through by lawmakers 2 years ago, but they finally got to it, and they have now banned domestic short-haul flights when there is a train alternative. So in French terms, that's flying, for instance, between Paris and Nice, or Paris and Lyon, or across country, perhaps, from somewhere like Brest to Nantes, or something like that. Those internal flights, interconnecting flights, are not affected. Of course, this will be a bit of a blow to the airlines, but is that also a very positive blow to cutting carbon emissions? There are some in France saying it's all symbolic, but I think it goes a bit further than that, because I think that, I mean, I look at the internal flights in the UK and I get why sometimes you might want to do something like London to Glasgow. But honestly, the football teams flying from Leicester to London or Manchester to Edinburgh, I mean, there are too many like that. Your country is slightly different. There are more kilometres involved, shall we say. But I can see how in France and potentially UK and Germany and others, it would, absolutely. You know, let's try to save the planet at the same time as maybe encouraging people to do other things.
Well, for one thing, we'd have to get our rail network back in order, would we not, to be able to even go anywhere near this kind of thinking. I do remember once being stuck in Paris with a 100 euro note trying to get on a train and didn't have change and didn't get much help. I can tell you that much for free, Adam. All right, talk to me. Adolf Hitler's house.
Yeah, they've been struggling to know what to do with this for, well, I guess it must be about 78 years, frankly. It's the house where he was born in Braunau am Inn, which is on the Austria-German border, and has been used in various ways. It's where Hitler was born, in a rented room on the top floor in 1889. So should it be demolished? There are plenty who've said it should be, to stop it becoming a kind of mecca for neo-Nazis, if that's not too much of a twisted metaphor. Others suggesting that maybe it could be a point for reconciliation, maybe used by Jewish groups. Finally, they've decided, the government compulsorily purchased this particular house 7 years ago, and they finally decided they will use it for human rights training for police officers. It hasn't started yet, but they think that Hitler's house would absolutely make an ideal point for... And do you know what? Sometimes you have to work this out, like in sport. What would the opposition least like me to do? That's probably what I should do. What would Adolf Hitler least have liked? And I think human rights training, yeah, it gets my thumbs up. I think that's a good use.
We'll have to see exactly how that unfolds. Adam Gilchrist with this morning's Worldview.